Father, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the seer into, or the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So I ask you, God, to teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth, cause us to understand, to comprehend what your word says so we can use it for every part of our lives. I cancel the assignment of the enemy. Satan, you have no... Demons, you have no right on this property and with these people. Though you come immediately to steal the word, I know that. So I cancel you now in Jesus' name. I resist you. You must flee. Go somewhere else. It ain't working here. These people are receiving this word. It's going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. And everybody said, amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is where we have started, and we have gone there. And we have run into some scriptures that is helping us to go to another place in the scriptures to help us to understand we need help to have a relationship with God. So God even gave us what is called the helper, the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit. He is, now get this right, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Father spent time in his ministry, and if I were you, I'd take notes on these so you can be able to commit them to memory. God the Father was in his ministry, in his earthly ministry, in the Garden of Eden and with the creation. Of course, God the Son was with him, and the Holy Spirit carried out what the Son, the Word, was spoken to be able to have happen. So God the Father was in his ministry, and he has now begun a rest. He's still in that rest. And I like rest. I like what God talks about a rest, because really what you're doing is that you're relying on God's word by faith. That's how you rest. Things are still going on around you. You may still be doing things, but you're resting in God because you're trusting in God. Everybody got that? So it's important for us to know how to rest. I remember when I was in the band at Lincoln High School, McElvey High School, and Sheridan Elementary School. Yeah, those are schools. Anyhow, I was in Lincoln Marching Band. I was in the concert band. I was in the orchestra with Mr. Chowders, my music teacher. Anyhow, and I was in the band in McElvey Junior High School when that existed, before they tore it down because y'all tore it up. Anyhow, they had to get rid of that school and put something else on that property so they can continue to get that federal money. And that's how they do it. Anyhow, so... I was at McElvey, and I was started at Sheridan Elementary School, rat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-ting-ting, with a triangle. And I started learning how to read music. There was a musical symbol called the rest. Any musicians know what I'm talking about? You take a rest, and you rest, and you rest until you see your notes again, okay? And so you're supposed to take a rest. Well, God wants you to rest like he's resting. Rest on his word. He said, light be. He didn't say let there be light, because he doesn't need permission. The actual Hebrew is light be. And light was. It just was. He didn't say let there be. Come on, let there be light. Would you please? No, he didn't say that. He said light be. He called the light, and light has been here ever since. We have to realize that God did all this, and he rested. Then Jesus went into his ministry. He came here. Do you realize that Jesus had to come? He had to come. He had to show up in order to be able to really help us. He couldn't stay away and really help us. You know, and there's something about this coming. I haven't gotten to it completely, but I'm going to do a whole bunch of teaching on coming, because a lot of people are waiting for God to come to them, and God is, he's already done it. Jesus has already come. He is coming again, but he's coming to collect those that's coming to him. You don't come to him, you ain't going with him. You have to come to him now. He came to you, you got to come to him.
And a lot of people think that, well, I ain't coming. Well, you ain't going to get nothing then. That's like, I mean, everybody, you can't do all your banking at home. Someday you got to go into that bank, sit down with that banker. They want to see that you're a real person. They ain't going to give you that $2 million for that new business project and you don't show up. They ain't going to do that online. They got to meet you and know you're a real person, that you're from this country, you got a citizenship here. Hello. Okay, there's some benefits about being part of the kingdom, just like there is about being part of this nation. And people want to play that down. And I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I'm looking for Hispanics to come to this church. I want to help them. I really do. I want to help a whole lot of Hispanics. We have some, but I want to be able to help more Hispanics, because I know what they're looking for. They're looking for something better. And ain't no shame in that game. Unless you're coming over here to act a fool. But we got police and ICE and everybody else for that. But if you come in here looking for a better life, man, I want to bless you. We all want a better life, right? So we shouldn't be looking down at people. We should help them. And anybody else that's coming over here. We have a lot of folks that's coming from other nations, because this is a blessed nation. Yeah. This nation was founded simply because of the fact that the Catholics over in England, this relates to what I'm teaching, the Catholics over in England were living by the canon law, the law called the canon, which makes the Pope the only one you need to listen to, and even took the Bibles from the people, so you don't need no Bible. See, that's crazy. You got to be able to go in your word. And that's what the revolt came about, because the men there, especially some of the godly men, like John Wycliffe and some of the others, they said, this is crazy. We need to seek God. We don't need to just seek the Pope. We want to seek God. We don't want to seek just a man. We need God. We don't need a man to search for God for us, and we trust in him to be able to have the relationship, and we don't. We need the relationship with God. We want to go back to that, and craziness was going on, and violence was going on, and all kinds of sexual debauchery was happening all over England and all over Europe. And so they jumped in some ships, said, we're getting out of here. We're jumping ship. We're getting out of here. And they came here to be able to start this nation. And I know they did a lot of stupid stuff. You know, they did a lot of stupid stuff, you know, with the Native Americans and with the African Americans. It ain't pretty. But their heart was to be able to start a new nation where we can worship God. And that's why we get to have church. And I can say whatever I need to, especially with Trump in office. Because he's letting the churches do what they have to do to teach the word. I know you don't agree with that. I don't really care. But anyhow, so we have to really go forward with what we have. We have an opportunity. So when we look at this, we find out that Jesus was in his ministry. God the Father was in his ministry. And now the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Father will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, he's going to be your paracletus. He is going to go along with you. He's going to be your advocate, somebody that is for you, and he will lead you and guide you and bring you into all truth, because he speaks the truth. So we have that help. But then God said, that's not enough. We've got to give a group of five more people with an anointing from the Holy Spirit to help these people. So let's do this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, and let's give them apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Okay? Because they'll be able to disseminate the word of God and help them to be able to understand the word of truth, and they will be anointed to be able to break down the word like never before. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Not everybody is one of those. But there are some. Now, and look at the next part of that verse. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Go to the, instead of going to the 10th verse, the 11th verse, let's go to the 9th verse and see what this happens. This is what your church is all about. I'm trying to get you to understand it. Because if we can understand this, then we can really have church. It says, now this, he ascended, what does this mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he also descended, is also he who ascended far above all things that he might fill all things. Above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Continue, verse number 11 now. And he gave, he gave, he gave, he gave, he gave, he gave. He gave. He gave the Holy Spirit. He gave Jesus. He gave himself first. Then when Jesus got done, the Holy Spirit was here. He said the Holy Spirit is invisible, but he can go into all of the believers and work through them. But then he said, that's not enough. We're going to have to give something else. He gave and he gave and he gave and he gave. Look at all the stuff God gave for us. He gave first himself in the garden and with creation. He gave then Jesus on the cross for us. Then he gave us and still has given us, and we still have the Holy Spirit. But he wasn't done giving. God's such a giver. He gave some. We are the fivefold ministry: apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. Our gifts. Ooh, I hear that click in your head. What? Your pastor, your evangelist, your, okay. The Lord said, break it down. Jesse Duplantis just came through here. He puts it on his schedule. Now he gets, last time I talked to him, this last time I talked to him was about 2 years ago. He's getting 9,000 invitations a year to go somewhere. He has his own jet, a $54 million jet, which is a real jet. Okay. And it's paid off, cash. So he can fly anywhere he wants to in the world. It doesn't just jump the pond, it jumps the globe. Okay? He can go anywhere. He doesn't have to come here, but he feels a need to be here, and he comes here on a regular basis. Now, he's operating as our covering right now because God's done something with that. But in, that's not, neither here nor there. He is an evangelist that also pastors, but he is strong evangelist. That's why everywhere he goes, you see people getting saved. They're drawn to him. Miracles happen. You have to have that because you're going to be in town 1 or 2 days. So you got to show something so the people will come. They got to know that something's going to happen. So they have miracles working with, or healings working with, the ministry of the evangelists. Apostles that establish churches are individuals. I didn't know Dr. Reverend Apostle Fred Price was an apostle. When I met him, I thought he was just Pastor Price. Turns out he's an apostle. He was an apostle. Special messenger with the message of faith around the world. You go anywhere on the planet, you will find congregations that have followed Dr. or Apostle Frederick Casey Price, who this morning was still preaching on the gospel, even though he's gone to heaven. They're still pushing his word out there. Praise God, which is God's word. That's an apostle. But he was also a pastor. He's strong in both, but he, of course, pastoring was his main thing. And God had us under him as my father in the faith. And Dr. Betty Price. So there's an apostle. There is an evangelist. Prophetic. There's the prophet. Now, you know, we know of many prophets. Bill Winston operates as a prophet, if you know of Bill Winston. Kenneth Copeland, if you've ever heard of him. Kathy Shorter. This woman's a seer. See, she don't like this. She don't like this. Now, the prophet is the only one whose ministry is judged when they prophesy. The church is supposed to judge it and see if we receive that. Because by unction, the Spirit will come on a prophet and all of a sudden they have something to say. They don't have it all the time. Now, she also operates as an exhorter. She's a strong exhorter, which will encourage you that you can do it. And so that's what she operates a lot of times. So we have a prophet. Then there's a pastor. Sitting on this front row here is a young man that is a pastor. But he's also a strong evangelist. Don Shorter Jr., Pastor Don, is a strong evangelist. There are people I'm looking at in the church that came to this church, got saved in this church under his ministry. So now, because Dr. Price was operating as apostle, I didn't know he was, I had quietly told people for a long time, God's called me to as an apostle as well as a pastor teacher. And I didn't want to tell nobody. And then Dr. Price, you know, came out as apostle, and the Lord said, that's why I had you with him. Not just to learn how to be what a pastor does, but also what an apostle does and how they carry themselves. So we have here, and I'm not just bragging, I'm just telling you the truth. We have an evangelist. We have a pastor. We have a prophet. We have an apostle. We have a teacher. In this church, we have all five. We are not missing any. I'm a pastor teacher. Don is the teacher. My wife exhorts and teaches. We don't need to bring anybody here to get the fivefold. But we don't get everything that God has. That's why we bring others with their gifting, like Dr. Godot, who's an evangelist pastor. And he will come here, and you will see a lot of people usually either get saved or get pastored. Or we bring Jesse DePlantis, who is an evangelist and an exhorter as well. He's an exhorter. He tells you, and strong with miracles and that kind of thing. Henry Hinn, Benny Hinn's brother, who is a close friend of ours, a minister of the church when he was out of town quite a few times, and leave church here and head up to Vancouver and do their Sunday night service. But see, he's strong evangelist. So strong evangelist, it's hard for him to even want a pastor. There's another good friend of mine, and I'll name his name. His first name is Emmanuel. And he's so strong prophet and evangelist, and he's a strong businessman. Pastoring is boring to him. So I'm saying to you, God has all of these people, thank you, sir, all of these people in the ministry as gifts for you. These people are given for you. The Holy Spirit was given for you. Jesus was given for you. The Father came down for you. How can we act so smug like we don't care nothing about God? We should be worshiping, praising, shouting, thanking. We should be jumping up inside. We should be getting up early in the morning to say, hey, God, how you doing? Instead of, I'm too tired. You stop eating all that sugar, you wouldn't be. Amen, Brother Shalda. You preaching now. But see, he gave, these are gifts. How do you treat your gifts? Does anybody still have their Christmas gifts in their house? Some of us, we receive a Christmas gift and we ain't seen it. We took that gift, we kicked it aside, after the wrapping came off of it. I mean, minister right here, and he's a powerful teacher, this man of God, Terrell Davis Sr., my son-in-law, man, I tell you, that brother, we be partying with the team, with the seniors. Seniors be partying when Terrell comes up in there. We just party, learning how to be able to take care of yourself and get rid of your rugs, you know, you throw rugs, and learning what medicine you shouldn't take, all kinds of stuff, when you're losing your memory. And we just... he make it all fun. But, you know, all of these folks are gifts to us. And we should treat them not like our last Christmas presents. We should really regard, thank God, that God has sent another male in this church, my son, to pastor at this church. Come on, I can call pastors' names that have been praying and praying and praying for a son to be able to take over their ministry, if that's what God does. But at least, and then has a son-in-law here, they can work together. Oh, I know the devil don't like that. I don't like him either. Think about what he likes. See, but we've got to realize we're blessed. Now, when he gave these gifts, what are we supposed to do with them? Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now we'll go back to verse number 2 or 3, something like that. Let's start at 2 this time. 1 Peter chapter 5 and 2. Now I want to see this in the King James Version. I'm used to that. So let's go to that. Usually when I'm doing ministers' conferences or whatever, I like to, in training ministers, I like to be able to use the King James To me, it's clear. It says, feed the flock of God. It doesn't say feed everybody around you. It's this is to the pastors. This is what your pastor should be doing. He shouldn't be your buddy. He doesn't have to be the guy that you hang around with and play Monopoly with. But if you do play Monopoly with me, you better get ready to lose. Just saying. I ain't bragging. Because if I start losing, I just mess up the board. You know, I'm just kidding. Feed the flock of God. Come on, let's have some fun. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So we're supposed to be overlooking the congregation. See, and people, they don't know how to deal with a pastor because it's like, I don't need nobody looking over me. Who you think you are? I don't need you over me. And you know what? You don't. If you don't want that, you don't have to have that. But you're going to find out you should have had it. Because God is not stupid. He put into the body of Christ what we need as believers. And we can poo-poo that just like, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need, what do I need the Holy Spirit for? Praying in the Spirit and all that? I don't need all that. I don't need the Holy Spirit to wake me up in the morning and tell me what to do that day. I can figure it out by myself. Who do you think he is? I don't need God. The fool has said there is no God. So is your middle name Fool? So we have to realize we need God. And we need the way God does things. It says, feed the flock of God. Don't give them Cheerios. Don't give them Twinkies. Don't barbecue for them. Dish out the word. Every time they come here, show them the Bible. Now, the Lord told me to tell y'all something if you're part of this congregation. You can have your phone in this service. I'm not going to stop you. But you go this week, get yourself a piece of paper Bible, a Bible with pages in it. And he told me to tell you why. You can have a phone, and that's great. That's good for study. You can do a lot of research with that phone because it goes all over the world with the World Wide Web, and you can get I got a lot of apps, man. Okay, y'all want to see something? I'll show you. Okay, some of this is aviation stuff, so I can fly. But anyhow, these are the apps I have. I use all those apps or I delete them. That's how many apps I have, okay? So apps are great. But do you know what? This is distraction when you come to try to study this. Because I can be sitting here, oh, wow, let me check and see if there's any planes that's crashed lately. Or, oh, wow. Let me see. What's the weather going to be tomorrow? Oh, what's Fox News saying? Oh, CNN. Oh, let me see. What does that word mean? Let me look in the dictionary. And I'm supposed to be studying my Bible. Go buy yourself one of these things. Get it ugly. Get a black ugly one. So you won't do nothing with it but read it, okay? Get a nice, don't get the one with the flowers on the outside and all that stuff. Get a black, ugly one. And you know you got a good one if it's got a string so you can be able to carry it to church. That's how you carry your Bible to church. That's what I thought you was supposed to do. I used to come to church like this. How y'all doing? I'm ready to preach the word. No, that's for marking your page. Okay, anyhow, go get a Bible this week. Keep your apps. I'm not getting rid of none of my apps. I don't care what y'all say. I ain't getting rid of none of these apps. But I'm not using that unless I'm studying. Because then I got a lot of places I can go and study and get. But when it comes to come to church, you need to come to church with a book that has no other buttons on it. You can't get a text all of a sudden while you're reading. Nobody can send you an email to this. Okay, so you just on God, and this is part of our life. Our lives now is, they said it would be easier. They lied. They said all these computers and all this electronic stuff is going to help us make it be easier. No, it's more confusing. It is more distracting in this life than it was when I was 12. Now, we know more stuff because the Bible says in the last days, information shall increase. Knowledge will increase. So we're on an increase in knowledge, but don't mean you're smarter. Some of the dumbest people are educated folk. Now, I got my degrees, I got my licenses, I got my my certifications and got my abilities to train others, even in aviation. But hey, listen, that ain't got nothing to do with the fact that if you don't hear from the Holy Spirit, you're not going to know what to do. And there's some pastors that, okay, I don't want to do that. Okay, but I'll do it. There are some pastors that are not pastors. I gave you the five falls. Some of them ain't even done the five. Some just went to a Bible college and graduated. God never called them. What do you mean, Pastor? I don't mean on their cell phone. When God calls you, you can't give that call to somebody else. You can't shun that call. It will never go away when you're called to the ministry. And I believe there's some in you in here, some of you other ones, you call, but you're not trained. And so we can't have you say nothing. And some of you scared to even say you called. I was scared to say I was called. I sit in the rafters. Big old church. I went to the biggest church I could find, sit in the rafters, my wife and I, hoping they wouldn't find me. Until one day the pastor said, how many pastors are here? And the Lord said, you going to lie? Or are you going to stand up? And I stood up and everybody, what? He's a pastor? I was like, yeah. I am. But I ain't doing that. Yeah, oh, boy. So we have to know, see, and this is what I'm, until we can, you know, it's like, I was talking about the box last week or week before. You get the box from Amazon. You got to first look at all the parts. Just see what you got. And then try to, you know, you try to reasonably think in your mind how the parts come together. We're just now opening the box from Amazon on God. So we can know all the parts, how they maybe can fit together. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the believer, the Christian, the anointed man and woman of God. I mean, me sitting there needing my needs met, coming to hear somebody for 45 minutes to change my life for the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the, until I get here again. How do I do this? Shepherd, feed the flock of God. That's what shepherding is. Your shepherd is here to feed, lead, and protect. If you can't follow your pastor, he's not your pastor. Jesus said, follow me. Paul wrote, see, and people get quiet on this because there's so many fools out there that people follow and end up in a ditch. That's because you don't know how to pray. If you know how to pray, you know who your pastor is. You don't know how to pray. You don't pray. You don't even pray. You don't, you just, oh, that looks like a good building. Duh. Yeah, right. Oh, they got cushions on their chairs. I'm going to go to that church. Oh, that pastor wears an afro. I'm going there. Oh, he's got blonde hair and blue eyes. Must be my church. Yeah. You're going to hell with somebody don't even know what they call. You need to pray. Don't come to this church unless you notice your church. We can be a visitor, but don't make no commitment. Till you know that you don't make no commitment until you're ready to listen to me. From God. It ain't me. If I tell you something stupid, you hit the door. If it ain't in the scriptures, you need to run. I mean run with Nikes on. And don't look back. Don't be like Lot. But if I tell you something, it's in the book. Then you fight your own book, because it ain't just my book. Everybody got a book. And some of you that get angry at what the pastor says, you ain't even got a book with you. Oh, that's my 2-minute warning. It's also my exercise music. No, I'm just kidding. So God wants us to be fed, feed the flock of God. That's what Don Shorter Jr., Pastor Don, will be doing next week. He's not here to entertain you, but he's a funny guy. He's not here to condemn you, but he will read the riot act. He is here to feed you. Now, you can hold your mouth closed like Danae and Monet and Don Shorter Jr. did, where I had to play airplanes before they would open up their mouth. I'm not mean, I don't want none. Come on, watch. Everybody, ooh! Feed the flock of God. I ain't about feeding no devils. You don't agree with me? Get your rump out of here. I don't care. I will give an account for those that are in my basket. I got eggs in my basket. That's the way I see it. As a pastor, I've been walking with the eggs in my basket, and I got as many as I can handle right now until God send me more. I got eggs in my basket. I'm going to protect these eggs. I'm going to deliver these eggs uncracked to the Lord. Say, thank you. I'm done. And gone into heaven. You don't want to be in my basket? Just jump on out. Anytime you want to, just jump out the basket. But the Lord told me, especially about our leaders and our teachers in many schools, not all schools, and our administrators, including our governor. Yes, I'm speaking about our governor and our attorney general, who I just heard yesterday in person, and our congressmen. Many of them, I'm not saying who it is, but many of them, he said, has lost their way. They started with God, but they're not with God any longer. They started with reverence for the church and for the things of God, but they've left that. You have lost your way. And he gave it to me as this example. And it's not going to go well until you go and find the right way again, which is God's way. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He told me to tell you. Here's the example of what it's like. We almost did it in going to Fresno from San Francisco, Bay Area. We was going to her father's house when her father was living. My wife's father was living. We drove from Oakland area, the Bay Area, over to Fresno. Beautiful country. Beautiful rolling hills with farms. And just beautiful. You just want to drive forever. But I took a turn to the left. I missed the sign of what it was saying. I thought it was the turn that was on my map at the time. They didn't have no Google. Okay. So I'm sitting there reading maps. Well, she would read the map and point it out to me. She was my navigator. And so I turned to the left, kept going. I didn't see any more signs like was supposed to have been on that map. I lost my way. Yeah. I was on my way to somewhere that I didn't want to go to. And the only way to get back is to turn around. Repent. That's what turning around means. You took the wrong turn. You've lost your way. You know you've lost your way. You know it. And some of you stand out of church. You lost your way. You want to act like you know where you're going. You don't know where in the world you're going, because every believer, every evangelist, every apostle, every prophet, every pastor, every teacher, every part of the body of Christ has to have a pastor and has to have a church. So are you out there evangelizing? You ain't doing nothing but displeasing God until you get submitted to somebody, because you're never a leader until you're a follower. I kept going. I'd made the wrong turn. The only thing you can do when you know you made the wrong turn, you keep on going. Yeah, you trucking. You going. You making it. Yeah, I'm going. Until you realize this ain't where I want to go. Only one thing to do. Come right back. It's embarrassing. It hurts. But you got to do it. Or else the further you go, see, the farther you go from God, the more you're going to hell. You're heading to hell. Well, Pastor, you saying I'm going to hell? I ain't said nothing. I said you're heading somewhere, and you need to turn around. And some of you need to turn around. I'm talking to the live stream audience right now, sitting there, you know, getting your free sermons. I'm talking to you. You need to turn around now and get your life back together with God. I'm telling you, this is what he wants. He wants us to do this. And he said, you're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and you ain't going to go nowhere else but there, because I want you to preach this. I got 54 seconds. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for money or filthy lucre. You all know how I feel about that. I ain't thinking about your money. But of a ready mind, be ready. There's all kinds of people with problems. Next verse. Come on now. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. I am not running your life, but being examples to the flock. My wife and I, 51 years of marriage. Yeah, it was hell for a period of time. For 10 years, I didn't know if we were going to make it. But you got to learn how to persevere. I knew one thing, I wanted her. She knew one thing, she wanted me. Amen. And you know what else we knew? The devil wanted both of us. Because he saw all this. He knew where we were going. And the only way we could lose is if we gave up. I would not give up. And she did not give up. Even when she went through 6.5 years of hell, of me being so ornery and crazy, it was that poison that went into my arm in that hospital poisoned my mind to where I couldn't do anything the way I'm supposed to. And I was telling her, this is not me. This is not me. I don't really feel like this. I don't mean to say what I'm saying. I don't mean to do what I'm doing. I'm sorry. This is not me. But I don't want to leave the house. I don't want to drive. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I don't get mad at me, but I don't want to. I don't even want to go to church. I can't function. For 6.5 years, this woman sat through that. Thank God for her 12 years of counseling education concerning how to be able to deal with people like me. And she had the nerve to tell me after this was over, I never wanted to deal with a person that had some challenges with their mind. I just wanted to deal with people that needed marriage counseling or premarital counseling. I'm sorry. Sort of made you go into a field you didn't really want to go into. I was her only client for 6.5 years as a counselor. My time's up. Did you receive something today? Give God some praise. Let's make some confessions in the middle of this. Say, God, right now, I ask you, and he's going to do it. Open my mind to your word, to your truth. God, I come against the lies that have been told to me, things that I've been thinking that helps me to live the way that I do, in an erroneous way, a wrong way. Forgive me, God. Help me to see clearly what your plan is for me, my part in the kingdom of God, my part in the church, my part that pleases you. God, my heart is to please you. It's not to please somebody else. I love you. I care that you cared for me. You gave your son. You gave yourself. You gave your Holy Spirit. You gave these gifts to preach and minister to me. Thank you, God. You've given me so much. Let me give myself to you. And today, I call that being done. My mind is opening up. I speak to my mind. You're sharp. I have a sharp mind. My spirit is open to the things of God. My soul has been fed today. So I believe I'm prospering and being in health because my soul prospered. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Let's thank God for the word we received today. In Jesus' name, we'll continue next week. Hopefully, we'll get back to Deuteronomy following week. Sorry about that. Next week, Pastor Don Shorter Jr. will be preaching the word. He'll be feeding the flock of God himself. Amen? Praise God. Heads bowed, please. Eyes closed. Christians praying and interceding one for another. Visitors that are with us for the very first time. I know this may have been a little different for you, but God has brought you to this place for a reason. If you're here today and you need to make a decision in one of these four areas, I want you to simply raise your hand. Those of you watching my live stream, this is a serious time for you. Not a time to just look at this as entertainment coming through your phone or your mobile device or even your television at home. It's a time for you really to consider your life and make a change. While heads heads are bowed and eyes closed, Christians praying and interceding for one for another. I want to give you an opportunity to make a change in your life by simply raising your hand, or for those of you that are watching, just give your heart to the Lord in these areas, and I'll guide you as best I can. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, perhaps you're here today, and you're not saved. You're not a Christian. You're not even sure if you go to heaven. You know that you do not have a relationship with God. You know that. You know that you come here almost in a naked sense, where you're just bare. You just have nothing to offer to God. Let me say something to you. You're probably lonely. One of the things I experienced when I fell for a day and a half through the bottomless pit and then ended up in this holding place. I don't know what it was called. One of the worst things that was happening to me at that time, as I experienced these things while I went through that process of 6.5 years of strange things happening to me because of the poison that went into my veins while I was in the hospital. Something they gave me they should never have given to me, that caused my whole mind, but God used it to be able to speak to me and to share with me and show me what those that are not saved will experience or are experiencing. I ended up in this place and it was just nobody there. It was the loneliest feeling. If you're lonely now, maybe you're single, and you're saying, this is hell. I don't like living by myself. I don't have anybody to talk to. I don't have anybody to deal with. If you hate that loneliness, you're going to hate not being a Christian and ending up in eternal life without God. Because it was so lonely. At one point, I've told you this. I was laying on my back in a coffin kind of thing. The coffin had a glass top. And there was nobody there. It was suspended in space kind of thing. I don't know what this was. Just like Paul said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But he went to that heaven that God showed him these things. Well, God took me to the lower parts of the earth as well as heaven. And I'm telling you, you don't want to be in this place where you're so alone. It's not just lonely. You're alone. You have nobody there. But thank God, when I spoke, I said, it's empty, about looking over through that glass in that coffin, and looked through the glass and I could see over my shoulder the lake of fire, and it was empty. And then when I said it was empty, then the Lord spoke and said, because judgment hasn't happened yet. And see, you need to understand that there will be a lonely existence. You think hell's going to be filled with populated people and you're going to party? No. I believe hell ultimately is being away from God, having no relationship with God. You need the Lord. We need each other. God wants you as part of his kingdom.